is working, and I know that He's moving. I know that He is perfecting the things that concern us. God's always thinking of you. You know, when you are mad at yourself, when you're having a bad day, when you're irritated with others, I want to tell you that God, He's right there. And so I'm just happy to be in His house today. And for anybody that's never heard me preach, I'm just going to give you a little short disclosure, because I feel responsible unless I give this disclosure to you ahead of time. I'm not going to sugarcoat the gospel. The gospel doesn't need sugarcoated. The gospel needs to be delivered exactly how it is. I'm not a politically correct person. I haven't never been, never will be. And so that's just how it is. We're going to tell it like it is, because wherever there's truth, there's going to be freedom. Those two things go hand in hand. The Word of God says that he who the Son sets free, they're free indeed. The only thing that I know that will set you free is truth. The Word of God says, now worship me in spirit and in truth. And so I don't feel any need to sugarcoat anything, Keisha, because look here, it's not sugarcoated in here, so it's not going to be sugarcoated out of this mouth. And so I'm going to ask y'all to stand to your feet today. We do this because there's so many times in a week where the devil will try to knock you down. And let me tell you something, child of God, you never need to forget that God says when you've done everything that you can do, you can stand. When you've done everything that you can do, I'm telling you to stand. And look here, the Word wants you to know that when you're standing and you've done it all, Deborah, there's a promise there. There's a promise there. But see, God wants you to do everything that we can do. When you've done it all, stand. When you've done it all, stand. When life's knocked you down in a week's time, when you've gotten depressed beyond belief, when you've heard something you don't want to hear, look here, the Word of God still tells you to stand. It still tells you to stand. It's not the time to lay over and just die. It's time to stand up and believe that God is exactly who He says that He is. It's time that people say, hey, I'm a child of God. I don't got to put up with this. If you've had a week, doesn't matter what kind of week, but if you've had a week where you're saying, you know what, God, I need you in this place. There's a situation. There's a circumstance. There's a health issue. God, there's a family problem. Lord, there's a thing I'm concerned about. I'm going to ask you to begin to raise your hands, because look what, God will meet you right in that place. He'll meet you right in that place where you feel like you're about to just snap. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, right now. Lord, I call down peace, God, that passes all understanding right now. God, I thank you for your provision, God, and your favor. Lord, I ask you right now, God, to set every wrong right. Lord, if the devil is taken from your kids this week, God, I ask for restoration right now. Lord, I thank you, God, that lives are changed today. Lord, I ask for healing to flow through everybody. God, spirit, soul, mind, body, every part of us. God, I thank you what you're going to do in this service. So, God, I hand it over to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about y'all, but it has been definitely a week. It's just been a week. I just keep it real here, too. You're going to hear things normal pastors wouldn't say. It's just what it is. It is what it is. But I have had a week. I've had a week where I've half the time felt sorry for myself. Half the other time I have felt sorry for everybody that's got to put up with me. And I've had moments where, Teresa, I wanted to have a pity party. I've had moments where I was sitting around and I said, God, I don't have nobody to talk to, so God, I'm just going to talk to you. I know that sounds backwards. You're supposed to just want to talk to God first. But sometimes you want to call somebody up and you just want to gripe, moan, and complain. That's the kind of week I've had. But you know what? At least I can keep that part of it real. Can you keep it real? Where are you at in your life? Where are you at in your life? Can you keep that part of you honest? Can you keep that part of you real? Can you say, you know what? I've had a bad week. Can you say I've had a challenging day? Well, that's what it's been. That's what it's been. And one of the things that God's been dealing with me on is about time. Time. We all, every day, Melissa, we have what we have. We have what we have. We have certain amount of days on this earth. And God this morning is going to minister to us about what we're supposed to do with that time. So let's go to Psalms chapter 31. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15. And in verse 14 it says, "But I trust in you." And what I've learned about the Word of God is that you can hang on every word that it says. Every single word, line upon line, precept upon precept. You can break it down word upon word. You can hang on it and you can build your life on every single word. Why? Because man doesn't live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's why it's so important for people to wake up and to realize that we're not living on a playground, we're living in a battlefield. And if you've not equipped yourself with the Word of God, when those hard times come, you'll have nothing to stand on because you haven't planted the Word of God in that heart, that when you hear something from the doctor that you don't want to hear, there's got to be that thing inside of you that says, no, hold on a second. The Word says that by His stripes, I'm healed. You got to have something in you when the devil tries to come in and split your marriage up. You say, no, hold on just a second. I done split a covenant with the living God. And see, the devil, you can't have my marriage. You're getting evicted right now. See, you got to have the Word in you. Now, look here. I got a very dear friend of mine, and I call her Sister Blabbermouth. And I love Sister Blabbermouth, and I spend a lot of time with her. And she knows I call her Sister Blabbermouth. And she talks and she talks and she talks. And one of the things that I always laugh about her, she don't go to this church, but she always says the same thing when she gets up in my car, and I just laugh because I'm the craziest driver I know. Okay? And Keisha can attest to that. Anybody's ever driven with me, you better be prayed up. And you better wear your seatbelt and anything else that you think is going to help you. So she gets in there every time and she goes, nothing bad can happen to me when I'm with Pastor Kelly. Because Pastor Kelly, and I look at her and I'm like, now hold on, sis, hold on just a second. Look here, you best be prayed up. Because pastor or not, that still don't improve the driving skills, okay? But it's not enough for your pastor to get up here. I'm a very animated person. If you're sleeping in one of my services, you've earned it. Because look here, I am very loud. I am very animated. I'm very in your face. And back in the pandemic days, I'd be sitting in your lap if I needed to. I try to give you your space. Because I'm on TV now. And I just love that. I really don't. A lot of people say, I saw them gold shoes you was wearing last week. I'm like, is that the only thing you got up out of that service? Was my shoes? Because you got some work to do if that's the case. Then a lot of people say, I can't believe a pastor would say such and such. Look here. World don't need no more pastors that ain't afraid, that just tell it. They just, oh, I'm okay, you're okay. No, let's be real. There's some things not okay in all of us. Amen? And so it's not enough for your pastor to get up here and to read you the Bible. It's not enough. You got to do that for yourself. You got to work it for yourself. Now work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And what I've learned is that salvation is a darn workout. It's something you got to work out. Because when you offended at somebody and you want to keep being offended at them, and the Word says you better stop that, you're going to have to work that part out of you. Why? Because God can't bless that part. See, there's things in us, if we'll get in the Word, God's going to give us some clarity on where we've been missing it. So I want to encourage you throughout your week to get into the Word. To get into the Word, because it's going to help you. It's going to set you free. You're going to read it till it reads you. Amen. And so in Psalms chapter 31, verse 14, it says, but I trust in you. Look here, everything could be going wrong in your life. Can you say, but God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. See, it's easy to trust God when everything's going right, isn't it? Easy to trust him then. I want to talk to you on your worst day when it's all going wrong. Because see, that's your trust level right there. That's your trust level right there. Do you trust God? How much do you trust him on your worst day? That's the level of faith that you're working with. Do you trust him? Do you trust him when you've heard the worst thing? Do you trust him when it's all going bad? Do you trust him when adversity comes? Do you trust him when the health issue comes? Do you trust him with your family? Do you trust him with your children? Do you trust him with that coworker that gets on your nerves? Look, I've been there. Y'all's all acting like you don't got that coworker. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you for truth right now. Lord, and I thank you, Father God, that you're helping everybody be honest. Because, Lord, we know we all got that coworker that gets on our last nerve. The problem is, God, my coworker is my own self. And help me to deal with myself, God. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, but God, I trust in you. And I say that you are my God. You are my God. There has to be an ownership there. There has to be an ownership. See, is he your God? Is he your God? Sister Millie, I don't know where she came from. I'm nothing like her. I don't really think anybody is. She's just one of them people you're like, how did you come to be? And she's so sweet and stuff. And Dad's like, yep. Anyhow, but she's very sweet. And she has fallen. And this has been like the fall that keeps falling. I mean, every time you turn around, it's like something. And she fell back in March. And one thing has led to another, to another, to another, to another. And the latest thing we've been doing is exercising this arm. And let me tell you something. Here's what I thought I signed up for. Helping her exercise her arm. My arms have been burning. I'm like, Lord, this is how out of shape I am, because 5 minutes of lifting mother's arm up and down, I feel like I've run a marathon. God, help us get over this season, because I don't like to work and exercise and get myself going. But here's what she does, because she's in a lot of pain right now. And I'm not about people being in pain. I don't know about y'all, but when somebody cries, it could be my worst enemy. If they start crying, I'm going to cry with them. And I'm going to try to figure out how I'm going to fix them. And so Teresa, she's got this pulley thing. And I've put it in between her fingers. And here we go. And she'll snap at me every once in a while. And it just almost shocks me because she's never been that way. And we're exercising, Alyssa. And she'll start singing, "You are the Lord that healeth me." Now look here, when you're in the most pain in your life, when that heart of yours is breaking, when you're hurting, when you're disappointed, when you're grieving, when you're thinking, God, why did that happen to me? Lord, why? And you're thinking, oh, and you want to just quit and you want to lay down and you just want to say, God, I give up. Look here, he's either your God on that worst day or he's not your God at all. He's either the one that you can say, God, you truly are. You're the one that heals me, God, from the very soul, God, every part. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I just pray, Lord, peace, God, that passes all understanding. God, I ask you right now, God, to make it up. God, I ask you to make it up. In Jesus' name. Lord, you know exactly. So God, I thank you right now. I thank you right now. In Jesus' name. God, you know the end from the beginning. And so God, right now, I thank you. I thank you. God, you're bringing some good things into this life, and I thank you for it, God. I call them forth right now in Jesus' name. Lord, every door, God, that you open, nobody else can shut it. So, God, I thank you for provision right now, and I thank you for favor. But, God, most of all, I thank you for this peace that's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. And here's Mama, and she's doing this pulley business, and she starts singing. And I start feeling convicted. I'm thinking,
God,
I am not this good of a person. Because I wouldn't be singing praises. I'd probably be singing something else, but it wouldn't be that. And she's going, and I'm thinking, Lord. And then she looks up at Dad yesterday, and you know, God will put you with somebody that's going to help you in ways that you can't help yourself. And they've been married for 46 years, and they'll tell you it has not been easy. How many of you know if you married to somebody for 5 minutes, that ain't easy? I mean, I'm pretty sure after week one, what did I do? Oh, God, help me. Lord, I cannot do this. But he looks up, and she looks, and she goes, Ange, I'm in so much pain. And she's just weeping. And he didn't skip a beat. He said, Millie, we are going on the other side of this. And we're doing it right now. See, God never told you that the weapon would not be formed. He never told you that. He never told you that trials wouldn't come. He did. He said, look here. Now, child of God, trials and tribulation, they're going to come. You ain't living in a perfect world. Things happen. It rains on the just and the unjust. But what he did say is that it won't prosper. The weapon, it may form, but angel, it won't prosper. So we got to keep something inside of us that says, now hold on. God, let's get this straight. Right now, I give you everything that I am. God, I give you every day. Lord, you said in your word, God, that you have ordered every step. See, the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered of God. What else does he say? I'll establish every one of them. I'll establish every one of them. But see, there's something you got to do. You got to give them your time. What is your time? Your life. Your life. Where did I set that Bible? Let me get it. And so it says, but I trust in you, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. Is he your God? Is he your God? See, a lot of times we can live off of other people's faith. And then when something happens in our life, we fall apart. Why? Because we didn't have the faith on our own. We didn't have the faith for ourselves. Build it. Build that salvation. Build it. And so it says, my times are in your hands. God, all my time. God, all my affection. Lord, all my love. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. See, does God have the right to come into your life and say, here's what I want you to do with your life? Does he have the right to come in and say, I want you to stop doing this, this, and this? Does he have the right to come in and begin to mold you how he wants to? See, because you were born with something called your will. Even Jesus said, Father, your will be done. See, even Christ turned that will over. Not my will be done, Father, but your will be done. He asked him 3 times in the garden, Lord, help this pass. If there's any way this cup can pass, Lord, let it pass. Look here, Deborah, it didn't pass. Why? Because there's certain things that we ain't just going to obliviate them. Melissa, we're going to walk through them. We're going to walk through them, and it ain't easy. But look here, Rosie. We got to catch that second wind, and we got to say, God, I'm going to walk through it because I know you're getting me through this. See, you got to decide, Lord, you're my God on my very worst day. So, God, every amount of time that I have left on this planet, God, I give it to you right now. I give it to you right now. And so in Psalms chapter 31, Verse 15, it says, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies. And you know, when I used to read this, I would think, well, I don't have any enemies. Look here, addiction is an enemy. Sickness and infirmity is an enemy. Adultery and fornication is an enemy. There's lots of enemies that we have. And so when we get into the Word, we need to pray that God open up our understanding, because here's a promise in His Word. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies. See, what is your enemy today? It may be doubt and unbelief. God may say, now pray for this. And you're praying, but the moment that you're praying those prayers, you're doubting in your heart already. Look here. See, God is not the author of confusion. God is the God that says, look here, if I've set you free, I've set you free. You know, a lot of things God has set His kids free, and we start dabbling in them again. That ain't going to fly. That ain't going to work. See, are your times in His hand? There are times where I'm like, God will wake me up and He'll say, I want you to go do such and such and such and such. Oh, God, please don't ask me to do that. I don't want to do that. Lord, let me just go bring pizza to the elementary school and be happy. I like that. Let me go pick out some paint for the church. I like that too, Lord. Let me do those fun things. There are certain things that I have to do. Look here. I don't want to do them. But you know what I've learned, Angel? To obey is better than sacrifice. When God tells you to do something, you either going to do that thing or you're not going to do it. But let me tell you something. There's either a blessing or a consequence there. There's one or the two. If God told you to do it, glory be to God, you best do it. Look here. Whatever God told you, if you don't listen, guess what, baby doll? You're going to come back around full circle. You're going to have another opportunity to get that place right. And you'll keep coming to that place till you get it right. Why? Because you stuck up in there in that disobedience till you get it in your head, God, it's your way. It's your way. God, I want your will. God, every moment of my time, God, belongs to you. I've had nights where, look here, I didn't sleep at all. I would say, God, are you done with me today yet? Can this just be over today? You say, no, Kelly, you're still pouring this out. Now, look here, if you're anything like me, sometimes I'm telling God, I am done. I don't have nothing else to give. Who has said that in here? Okay. I know everybody. I wasn't the only hothead up in here. God won't have you pour yourself out without filling you up. A lot of times people say, how do you do what you do? Look here, Keisha, it's this simple. I'm not the one doing them. That's the truth. And a lot of times I think, God, how could you use me? Because I'm very unequipped for this job, because I have a temper and I'm a hothead and I've got all these problems. And here's what it is, Alyssa. God knows if He'll tell me to do it, I'll do it. Because there's a commitment there that I've said, God, I'll suit up and I'll show up and I'll step up to the plate. See, does God have your time or doesn't He? Does He have it? Does He have your life? Does He have the little things? It's the little foxes that will spoil the vine. Those little decisions. A lot of us think, oh, it's the big things. No, look here. It's them little clusters of decision makings that we do that really either make us or break us. The little things. And so it says, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Look here, there are times where you wake up in the morning and there's some things pursuing you. There's times where I wake up in the morning and the devil's just waiting for me to flop these fake eyelashes open so he can start his tormenting. Look here. That's just how it is sometimes. There was one day I knew I was going to have a bad day. You know why, Rosie? When I woke up, one of my eyelashes was on my cheek. And I said, God help me. Got one on and one off, and this is going to be a rough day. And look here, it was. It was rough. And I knew it because when them eyelashes, when you wake up and they're on your cheek, that's a rough day. But look here. When you wake up in the morning, Satan should be horrified you up. If the devil ain't messing with you, you're doing something wrong. If you're going through it right now, you're probably doing some things very right, and I'm going to tell you to hold on. I'm going to tell you to hold on. If you're going through that fiery furnace of affliction and it seems like everything is going wrong, like there's some things that are going to always be like that, I'm going to tell you to hold on just a second. I'm going to tell you to back up and give God some room for His glory to show up in that situation. Because look here, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Holy Spirit. You either want the Holy Spirit to roll up in that situation or you don't. But you got to make that decision. And you know how we make the decision, John? We say, God, in Jesus' name, here it is. You have this life. God, you do with it whatever you want to do. And you give that choice to Him. See? My grandmother used to always tell my dad when he's a little boy, now, Angie, God always gives His best to those who leave the choice to Him. Have you left the choice up to Him? Have you left the choice up to Him? There's things that's gone on here lately, and I'm saying, God, why? God, why would you let that happen? Look here, I'm human as human gets. I got a lot of flaws. And Keisha, I've had to commit some things to God and say, God, help me to stop asking you why. God, help me to go with it. Because look here, if I've known anything, I know this, He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's not going to let you down. You can trust Him. He's pretty well the only one you can trust 100%. Amen? Any of y'all watch Survivor? Okay. You're going to have to start watching that. Because this life that we're living is like a big game of that. I can't believe y'all don't watch Survivor. What you watching, American Idol? I'm going to tell you a life goal, and I don't want you to be mad and think I'm terrible. On my bucket list of things I want to do at some point in my life, I want to be on one of them shows. Jeremy goes, they're voting you off the very first time. Look, and if it's Survivor, I know I'm not dumb enough to go on Survivor because I'd be like, vote me out, I'm going. There's too many bugs up in here. But I want to be on one of them things. And I know that sounds crazy. I want it to be one of them real dramatic shows, too. I like the drama. But anyhow, let's go right now to Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12. If you can't laugh in church, you just got a problem. If you've got me on a pedestal, I'm going to tell you right now you need to take me off of it because I'm your pastor, not Jesus. And I put my pants on the same way you put yours on. 1 foot at a time. So we're in Psalms chapter 90. Let's look at verse 12. And it says, teach us to number our days aright. And what I want to ask you this morning is, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Or are you a know-it-all? Anybody know a know-it-all? Let's take a poll. You know a know-it-all? I can't stand talking to know-it-alls. You know why? Because you can never tell them nothing. Case in point, they know it all. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Do you have to learn through experience? Or can you just go with God when he's saying, don't do that. It's not going to end up good for you. Don't go there. Don't do that. See, are you teachable? Because look here, if you're not, you can fix that. You know how you fix it? You say, God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to make me teachable. Lord, I ask you to make me humble. God, give me humility and teach me, God. Lord, I put my ears back and I shut my big fat mouth because, God, I want you to teach me what to do. But you're either teachable or you're not. There's things that I have been very unteachable about, and I can own them. It's a healthy thing for you to be able to verbalize what you're not good at, where you've failed in the past. See, if you can talk about your failures, you've done moved past them suckers. There was things Dad has tried to tell me in the beginning of Jeremy and I's pastorship. I said, I know. I know them already. He does this thing with his glasses. And he goes, well, okay. Look here, Kayla. There are times where I can't get that cell phone out fast enough. Dad? Got some things going wrong. The other day, had to call him. And I had to say, the key will not go in the door. And I'm shoving it in, and it won't go. Now, in the past 33 years, what have you done to the door to make your key go in when it did this to you? And he laughed. He's laughing because there was a time I wouldn't ask him. I'd have just shoved that and made that key go in that door. He said, I'll be right down. Kelly May, I'll be right down. He gets this thing. He goes, give me your key. And he squirts some stuff on there. And he shoves it in the door. Works fine. I said, hold on a minute. Apparently this is a lesson that I need to be taught. What are you spraying all over the door? And he showed me what he was spraying on the door, and this is what I said. Daddy, I need you to live a very long time. Because there's lots of things that apparently I don't know. And I'm ready to listen. A couple days before that, Mary McFarland called me. Sam said, the church needs the bags for the trash cans. See, nobody tells you when you become a pastor, you become a janitor and a plumber and a house cleaner. Dr. Phil, let me think. I've become a lot of things. I thought, okay, I'm going to go buy the black bags. That's how I am. I'm a girl. The bags are black. I'm going to buy the black bags. I bought the black bags. Guess what? Apparently, there's 55 gallon. There's like 40 gallon. There's all these different gallons. Mary goes, Pastor, I hate to tell you this, but them new bags that you bought a whole bunch of, they don't fit in the trash can. I was eating at Subway with Dad, and I go, and I'm not even off the phone, and he's going, this is what he's saying, I know what you did wrong. And he's all excited to tell me I was wrong. And I said, what is it? And I put my ears back and I listened and I said, Dad, let's work out a deal. From now till the day you die, can you just go get the trash bags? Please. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? My God, it's a necessity. Can somebody tell you something? See, look here. I want to speak to you. And I'm going to ask you to put your ears back. How many of you believe that your pastors love you very much? Jeremy and I, we could not love you more than we do. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. The worst feeling for a pastor, the worst scenario for a pastor is when God wakes us up one morning and says, look here, you're going to have a talk with so-and-so, and you're going to speak some correction into their life. And let me tell you something, John, it's the part of the job that I hate the most. Because look here, the honest-to-God truth is there are more rebellious people than there are people that will just say, Pastor, I know that you love me so much. I'm going to ask you to always speak into my life when you feel like I'm going the wrong way. Because look here, there are people that are supposed to be in this church today. Yeah. Alyssa, yeah. You a boss. Is the world full of rebellious people or not? Yeah. Let me tell you something. Your pastors are the ones that they're looking out for your soul. Yeah. They're looking and they're going, look here. When y'all's house burned, I kept waking up in the middle of the night crying, and I kept saying, God, now how are you going to make this up? See, it's hard to say, look, man, I don't think God's in that. I think this isn't right. Because you know what people's going to do. They either going to listen or they're going to go away talking about you and leave. And you know what I've become pretty at peace with? If you left, you're never with us to begin with. Because I dread, and I've done it, had to do it very few times. It's very uncomfortable. And I'm going to ask you to be teachable. I'm going to ask you to be teachable. The worst thing in the world is for everybody to have to watch you mess your life up. Amen? Ain't nobody wants to watch that. You don't want to watch that. You don't want to watch certain things get messed up. Be teachable. Can God come in your life and say, now look, I love you, and those that I love, I correct. Those that I love, I chastise. You zigged when you should have zagged, and now that's why you're going through this. See, can God come in, and can God show you where you missed it? Can he come in and say, this right here, child, this is where you missed it. Let's go back to there and let's make that choice differently this time. Can he do that with you? Can he do it? And it says, teach us to number our days. And another translation, it says this right here. Teach us to use wisely all the time that we have. God, teach me to be wise about what I decide to do with the rest of my time on this planet. That's what it's literally saying. How many of you ever made a really terrible, dumb decision and it cost you years? That's why we're talking about this. Because look here. God is still the God that says, I'll restore the years that the locust has stolen. But hey, what if we could just skip that part altogether? See, what if we could just move forward in every amount of wisdom that God could pour into us? So it says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So when you're going in your life and a situation has presented itself, ask God, God, you know exactly how many days I've got left on this planet. God, is this in your perfect will for my life, or God, am I getting off? God, teach me. God, show me. Lord, I'm going to obey. God, I'm going to obey. How many of y'all like them guy shows? I like swamp people. I get some aggression out just by watching that. I also want to do that. I want to go wrestle one of them big old alligators and have some boots made out of them. And I don't want one that's got a messed up carcass thing, because I want my boots to look good. I want to be on that show too. But the other day, I don't have a lot of time, so I don't watch a tremendous amount of TV. But the other day, I was overhearing a show that I kind of halfway like that Carson and Jeremy was watching. It's called Forged in Fire. How many of you ever watched that? It's a little sword show. And I love for people to make things. I think that, man, if you can be creative instead of a vegetable on the TV playing some video games or stuff, I think that's great. Let's use some talent. Great. We're going to make some fire. And I always think, how did you start off making swords? I'm like wondering. I didn't know there was people that did that, and they got a whole show about it. And they give you like 3 hours to make this sword, and that sword's got to like have some standards about it. You got to be able to cut through the pig, then you got to be able to cut through this and cut through that, and there's a lot of dynamics about this sword. And you got a certain amount of time, and that's it. That's like our life. You got a certain amount of time, and that's it. I know that's truth, but it is truth. And so this guy was talking, and everybody, he was looking around, and everybody was doing better than him at this sword. That's the first thing that he did wrong. He was too concerned about what everybody else was doing with their little sword. Let me tell you something. When you get in your life, you don't have the luxury tyranny of looking around and comparing yourself to everybody else, because you'll always find somebody that you think is doing it better than you. You can't do that. You got to be focused in on what you're supposed to be doing. And he kept saying, the last thing I want to do is have to start over. But look here, John. He didn't start it right. And he kept going, and he kept going, and he knew this sword wasn't going to hold up. But he kept going. Well, he didn't win. Because 2 + 2 is going to always equal 4. And he said something, and when he said it, I was thinking, I hope my son has listened to this, because there's a life lesson in this for Carson Paul. And the life lesson is this right here. When he lost, he said this, and I wrote it down. He said, what I would do differently is I wouldn't waste a lot of time on a mistake, even if I spent a long time making the mistake. Now, I'm going to repeat that because that's a little wordy, and you may need to wrap your mind around what I just said. Don't waste a lot of time on a mistake, even if you took a long time making the mistake. Because let me tell you something. If it was wrong on day one, it's still wrong on day 1,000,001. And let me give you something that's a golden nugget. There's never a better time to begin again than in the very moment that you see that you got off and you done wrong. That pride will try to come up, and it'll try to give you every reason why you need to keep going. And I'm going to tell you something, child of God. The moment that you realize that I got off, I'm going to tell you what. There is never a better time to get back on the right track and make it right. Because look here. You still got time. You still got time. God, teach me to number my days. God, teach me to use wisely all the time I got. Because look here, at the end of this thing down here, we're not taking nothing to heaven but souls. And that's it. Everything else really doesn't matter. Because there's a thing called eternity. That's what matters most. And so last place for me this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And I always say, almost in every one of my sermons, if you can't find it in the Word of God, it's not true. And what I've learned, Teresa, is there's some very interesting things in the Word of God. God will tell you how it is straight up. And he won't fluff it. Because look here. If he fluffs it, it's going to go right over our head and we're going to think we good. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, act like people with good sense and not like fools. You ever acted a fool? You ever got up in that, halfway into acting like a fool and you knew you was doing that and you kept on? It cost us. It cost us. May cost you a relationship. May cost you a job. May cost you years. See, that stuff costs us. And that's why we need to be praying, God, give me wisdom and teach me what to do with my time. Because, God, I don't want to waste any of this time that you gave me. You know? And so it says, act like people with good sense and not like fools. Let me tell you something where I kind of think it's comical, but then I'm like, God, are you going to tell us about our Facebook stuff when we get to heaven? God, are you? You ever type something out and you're like, Lord's saying, don't you do it. And you're going, I'm doing it. You ever had to delete? You ever typed it out 4 or 5 times? And, Look here. We're living in a day and age where people are acting straight up foolish. And people can't tell who's a Christian and who's not because we all acting alike. See, the Word of God says, let your light so shine. Angel, there's a lot of days where I lay my head down and I just have to say, God, I'm sorry because it didn't shine very bright today. But let me tell you something. There's also some days where I'm going to bed, God, I hit it out of the park, didn't I? Tell me I did, Lord. When I've shut my mouth real good and I've taken it and didn't retaliate, I know I did the Lord's will. When I've given all I can give and I say, God, I'm going to call it a day because I'm done. I'm out. But look here. God wants your time. He wants the rest of it that you got. A lot of people, they get mad at God. God wants my 10%. Look here, baby. Actually, he wants the whole thing. Because he wants your life. And he's not making apologies for wanting your life. Why? Because he gave it to you. He who tries to save his life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll give it away and you say, okay, God, here it is, you're going to find it. There's a lot of times on Monday nights, my girls, they'll come back to the car and they're just weeping. Sister Blabbermouth. I said, did they do something to you? Did you come out here crying? And she'll say, no, I just never realized I could be such a blessing. I said, you're learning. There's a lot more to life than what you can take. See? There's a lot more to life than gimme, gimme, want, want. God's looking for people to say, God, here I am. I'm here to worship you. God, I'm here to praise you. God, I lay it all down. God, fixing me. God, what's not been right from the moment that I was born. God, save me. God, teach me. And God, give me wisdom. But the Word says, act like people with good sense and not like fools. These are evil times. Can we agree that we're living in the last days? These are some evil times that we're living in. People's doing things, Brother Charlie, to each other. They should be ashamed of, but there's no shame. These are evil times, so make every minute count. Make it count. There's also another show, and it's called Minute to Win It. I'm going to get on one of these shows. It doesn't need to be one where intelligence is required, because I don't know the dictionary very good. I'm going to send Jeremy on that one, because he's very smart. I want to go on the one where there's got a social aspect to it. I can do that. I'm a social person. But make every minute count. Is it counting? Do you ever notice when the devil gets you going? You'll look at the clock and 4 hours have gone by and you're thinking, I can't believe it's 4 o'clock. I got started on this crop session at 12. Do you ever realize how you can go on and on and on and you look at the time and you're like, ooh. See, the devil keeps people in years where they don't even remember what even happened in those years. Look here. Make every minute count. Make every minute count. Be teachable. Be teachable. Be teachable. It says these are evil times, so make every minute count. Now, I love this next part. Don't be stupid. What it says. I looked at that. Now I read this in a translation where I can understand it, because look here, I don't want to hear a bunch of gibberish that I don't know what they're talking about. I want to know. And in this version that I'm reading you, when it says don't be stupid, I can understand that. I know what don't be stupid means. Because I got stupid rolling all up in these veins lots of times. And I have to fight that. Have to fight not showing out. So it says, don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. There's a reason you're here. What is it? Why were you put on the face of the earth? You have a calling. It comes without repentance. God's not sorry that he made you. He's not sorry when you're messing up, and he's not sitting there thinking, why did I even create them? They're just messing up. He's not saying that. He's waiting for us to get it right, because he realizes the moment that we do, all of our time is going to count. It's counting. We gave it to him. He put his hand of blessing over it, and he made us do things that we wouldn't be able to do naturally on our own. And so it says, don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Don't destroy yourself by getting drunk, but let the Spirit fill your life. We live in a very drunken world. We're drunk on our problems. We're drunk on all the things we want. Some of us are physically drunk. Let me tell you something. You don't need that. You say, well, Pastor, you just gone to meddling. You bet you I did. The shoe fits, wear it. Wear it. Own it. Own it. The Word of God says don't be drunk. Let the Holy Spirit fill you up. When the devil gives you a big fat glass of all your problems and wants you to focus on them instead of use your time wisely for what God put you here for, look here, you need to do what's called a little pushback. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. God, I'm going to trust you. And furthermore, God, I give you all the time in this day. Do what you want to do with me. And so it says, when you meet together, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. A lot of Christians, we're singing words to and lyrics of songs of disaster. Songs of disaster. See, you can listen to some of them songs and get that deep in your spirit and wonder why you're having a depressed moment, because you done got that up in your crawl. You done got that in your spirit, talking about how your mama's daddy's dog got killed and all this other crazy nonsense. We don't need that. A while back, I was hearing a song, and it says, I got a couple dents in my fender, a couple rips in my jeans. And I was just jamming out. God said, Kelly, do you want a couple dents in your new fender? No, God, I don't. I want that thing to keep looking nice. He said, well, then stop singing that. See, God works with me on even the little things that I sing. Why? Because you know what? God, this mouth was made to praise you. So, God, I ain't going to take a couple dents in my fender because, God, you gave me that fender and that fender's blessed. And, Father God, I ain't going to talk myself up into a dent in that fender. And I ain't going to put it in my heart either. See? Because, God, your word have I planted in that heart. Sing spiritual songs as you praise the Lord with all of your heart. All of your heart. Lord, let everything that I have bless you. Praise you. See? Does God have all of you? Because he wants all of you. And the best thing about God, Teresa, is we want to say, well, God, you can take the parts of me that are good and right. But look here. He takes it a step further and he says, I want those things that you're not proud of. I want those things that you think, God, don't let everybody ever find them out. He wants those things too. Why? Because he wants to make them count. A lot of times we think, God, you couldn't possibly use all those mistakes that I made that were dumb. Look here, he uses it all. He'll use it all. But you got to give it to him. Make every moment count. And it says, Lord, I'm going to praise you with all of my heart. Always use the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to thank God the Father for everything. There were times when I've gone through things and I was mad at God for letting me go through them. When I go through things now, Tyranny, here's what I say. God, whatever the reason you're allowing me to go through it, I want to tell you thank you right now because I know you're bringing me to a place. I know you're bringing me to a place. God never promised that the weapon wouldn't be formed. He promised you that it wouldn't prosper. One of the ways that we snuff out Satan and all the things that he tries to do us harm with is by giving God our time, all of our time. When you want to fall apart, say, God, I give you this season where I feel like falling apart. When you want to be mad and angry and hold grudges, God, I give you this season where I feel angry. If you're sitting in that seat today and there's some things that you want to hand over to God, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because let me tell you something. God's here to take those things. He's here to take those things from you that have been weighing you down. If you're sitting there and there's areas of your life where you say, God, you've been dealing with me. Lord, I know that you want me to hand those things over. God, there's a certain part in my life where you want that time. But God, I've been unwilling to give it to you. God, I'm willing. See, it all boils down to this right here. What are we willing to give God? See, God's not walking in your life taking things from you. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, for every person, God, that's heard your word, Lord, that's reacted to your word. God, right now, Lord, I thank you for your hand of favor, God, that's on each one of their lives, God, for their calling, because God, it's come without repentance. Lord, I ask you right now to make a way where there was not a way. God, for every problem that we face, God, I thank you right now that as we begin to turn that over, God, we give you the time. God, we give you every bit of love that we have for you, every bit of praise. God, we hand these things over to you. God, I thank you that you put a hand of favor over them and you've blessed them. Lord, I don't know what they face today, but God, you do. And Lord, I ask you for breakthrough right now in Jesus' name. Breakthrough. Lord, I pray right now over Logan County. And God, I ask you right now, Lord, every dope dealer that's in this city, God, that's in this county, God, I ask that you would expose them. Lord, I ask that you'd shut them down, God, in Jesus' name. But most importantly, God, I ask right now that you'd save them, God, from the inside out. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you've done. Lord, all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.